How does Jesus teach the disciples how to pray? What's his approach? Does he impose prayer upon them? We know that Jesus recognizes that prayer is essential by his own example. How many times he goes out, wakes up early for prayer or prays late into the night. So by his own example, we see how important, what a kind of a value prayer has for him. So how is he going to introduce prayer and the importance of prayer to the disciples? Is he going to impose it upon them? These are the requirements. You need to be praying. You need to pray this much, right? I'm growing up, all of us have had certain experiences where our parents, are requiring us, part of our duty, to pray. We have to go to Mass. When we would travel as kids with our parents, if it was over 30 minutes, we'd have to do the family rosary. And so my mom would pull out, we called it the pigeonhole. There the rosaries would be. Let's pray the rosaries. Rosary. We didn't have an option. And we were like, we got to pray the rosary. Not that it was a bad thing, but it's kind of being imposed upon us, right? Well, Pope Francis says that the church grows not by imposition, by imposing something, a requirement, but by attraction, by attraction. So how does Jesus teach his disciples to pray? He's off praying, and they see him, and one of his disciples, representing the rest, says what? Lord, teach us how to pray. So how is he brought to the desire for prayer? He's attracted. You see, Jesus' approach is to attract the disciples from prayer. So instead of outside in, he's moving inside out, drawing the heart of the disciples to something special that's happening. And remember, this disciple and these disciples that are following Jesus, they're Jews, and they have regular Sabbath worship, and they know the Psalms. They have them memorized. It's not like they don't know how to pray. The disciples see something different about Jesus' prayer and something attractive, something more than what they're experiencing in prayer. And so Jesus attracts them and he attracts us. That's the most powerful way to be led into prayer from the inside out, where our hearts are moved. So where do we begin with this? Well, how does this disciple begin? He begins by what? Recognizing that he doesn't know how to pray. In one sense, he knows how to pray, but in another sense, what he's seeing in Jesus, he doesn't know how. The first movement of prayer and deeper prayer is to recognize our weakness and our need, and that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. How many times, many of you have holy hours, and you kind of are confounded because I don't know what to do during my holy hour. I don't know how to pray. Am I praying rightly? And then the interpretation can be, well, I guess I'm not getting too much out of it then, right? Because I'm not praying rightly. I don't really maybe know how to pray as I ought. Are we in a bad place? Is that the right interpretation then? That I'm not praying rightly, and so maybe should I even be praying at all? I could be doing other things that are more productive. If you go to the catechism, there's four sections, the catechism, the four sections on prayer. And one of the early paragraphs, very interesting, is that it says that the person who recognizes that they don't know how to pray, right, or don't know how to pray as they ought, are ready for prayer. That's when you're ready for prayer, when you don't know how to pray as you ought. Well, we have it right here with this disciple. He doesn't know how to pray. And so coming to the table, because most of us are attracted to a deeper spiritual life, hopefully, a deeper prayer life, but we don't know where to go. Well, what's the first step? The first step is the disciple who recognizes that he doesn't know how to pray as he ought. That means I'm ready. Being ready doesn't mean you're in control and you have your T's crossed and your I's dotted. You know everything about it. You're ready to engage. No. What did we sing? What was the refrain in the response sorrow psalm? Lord, in the day I called for help, you answered me. When the day I was sufficient, you answered me. No. In the day I called for help. That's when the real prayer began. You answered me. And so that's the starting point for the disciple, is to first, is to be attracted to this something more that Jesus is inviting us into in our prayer. Most of us learn many prayers from an early age. Is that all there is to prayer? Well, this follower of Jesus, representing the disciples, said, no, there's something more here. We're being introduced to something richer and deeper, but I don't know how to go about it, how to go deeper. I'm attracted to that. Okay, so that's for the person who is at least attracted and desires more from their prayer. Start from the foundation, the starting point of, I don't know how to pray as I ought, okay? What if you are in the place of, you're going to Mass, or you know people that are not at Mass, and they have no attraction for a deeper spiritual life. There's not really any desire. They'd much rather be on the golf course. They'd much rather be sleeping in, watching TV, filling their time with other things. There's no taste for prayer. There's no taste for the spiritual life. There's no attraction. Do we stay where we're at? Because we're not like this disciple who is attracted to prayer? No. What we can do, Saint Ignatius of Loyola gives a great counsel. If you find yourself where you're not attracted to your prayer, and you know what, this can hold for people who are generally speaking attracted to prayer, because there's some days, even for the saints, that there's days I'm not attracted to prayer, right? I don't desire to do my prayer today. So we all probably can fit into this category, right? But some, they are predominantly, there's no desire for a deeper spiritual life. Don't really care. They're not going to come, right? Well, what St. Ignatius says, if you don't have a desire, you don't have an attraction, ask the Holy Spirit to help me to want to pray. I love it. Help me to, I don't even want to pray. I admit it, okay? It's not cool, but help me just to want to pray. And that's beautiful, because it recognizes that even the first movement, the first attraction, the desire for a deeper spiritual life, a deeper interior life, a deeper relationship with the Lord, and intimacy in prayer, that first movement is of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're recognizing when we say, Lord, help me to want to pray. Now, we could go off onto different forms of prayer and different ways of prayer in our Catholic tradition, but that has to be for another day. I want to just kind of focus on the starting point for all of us, whether we have an attraction or we don't have an attraction to prayer. If we have an attraction, the first step, I don't really know how I ought to pray. I mean, I'm just being honest here. I mean, I think I know some things, but there's a lot of confusion here. You're on the right track. I don't have any attraction to prayer. There's nothing moving inside of me, okay? I admit that. I recognize that. Holy Spirit, help me to want to pray. We know that for Jesus, by his own example, if he would have never said any word about prayer, that it was the most important thing to him. Why? Because it kept him in the loving glance and awareness of his Heavenly Father.